Hey, y'all, how are we doing? Shout out to Bear Nation for tuning in for another episode of The Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship, a podcast for the entrepreneur-minded, created by entrepreneurs, discussing the real stories that give you the tools to overcome challenges and stay true to your real self. As always, I want to give a shout out to our partners over at Finn. Finn is a social good platform that creates employee engagement and builds culture. We've teamed up with Finn to give back to the communities that we serve. For every episode, we will be donating $10 to the cause of choosing by our guest in the Finn platform. Enjoy today's episode. Bear Nation, what is up? How are we doing today? I have a really awesome guest who, right before this call, shared with me some exciting news. So I'm going to let Alvaro share that here in just a second. So I am here with Alvaro Carrasco Ariza. I think I said it about right. He is perfect. Hey, there we go. I was practicing before. He is the CEO and founder of a company called Brave Up. He is a Chilean ed tech entrepreneur and one of the most important social entrepreneurs in Latin America, and has awards from the OAS and IDB, which is the Organization of American States, and the Inter-America Development Bank. So really cool things that he's been doing, and his company, his purpose, his mission is super exciting with Brave Up to stop bullying. So we're going to get into that. But Alvaro, before I let you share any good news, say hi to Bear Nation for me.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for the invitation. Thanks for your time, Rob. It was great to meet you. I don't know if the people know, but he was my mentor a few weeks ago. That's how I met this guy. He helped me a lot to like understand how to improve my pitch, how to launch my company in America. So thanks for that. And yeah, we're super excited because we raised $550,000 of our pre-seed round of investment. We're going to launch Brave Up in USA. In 20 days, I'm going to launch Brave Up in America in New York City. So we're super excited, man. This is really happening. This is true. This is not just a Chilean company, not just a Latin American company. Now we're going to be an American company, and we're going to say stop bullying everywhere, man. It's insane. It's crazy.
I'm excited. And yes, for those that were hearing that right, he did secure an amazing pre-seed round of funding off of all of the hard work that he's been doing. And yes, Alvaro and I met through an organization called Starta Ventures. They are a really awesome accelerator community here in New York City that I'm an entrepreneur in residence and coach for. I had the chance to work with Alvaro a little bit, and you know, we hit it off right away, partly because Alvaro has a lot of energy as a millennial entrepreneur who not only is running a company, he is also an adjunct professor. He's also a mentor for Startup Chile, giving back to his communities. And it's really important, you know, when we look at the communities that we serve, and Bear Nation knows this, that we want to be kind of that community that other communities connect with and help grow the communities. And every episode we give back through a philanthropic organization called Finn. And so mission and impact is really important to us. And so these are all the reasons that Alvaro and I just like connected immediately. We only got to work together for like a week or two. Then the program was over. And now he is going to be on a plane back to New York City to officially launch Brave Up in the US. So we are excited to have you on the show, Alvaro. And I want to get to your journey, but I think a really good place to start, because I made a big point about the mission and impact, is tell me a little bit about what is Brave Up and what are you trying to do when you say we're stopping bullying across the world?
Yeah. Well, Brave Up was born like an app, like a social media to this Z generation. Like they're super, they love the technology, they love the app, they love the smartphone, but half of the young people in the world are victims of bullying. I mean, like more than 150 million of kids say like, yes, I'm victim of bullying, you know? It's like, and for me it was like, well, you have this huge problem, they love the technology, so let's bring something like that, this first app. And after 5 years of working with different schools, now Brave Up is a software to prevent, predict, and detect Bullying and cyberbullying is a SaaS, is a software as a service that the counselors of the school use. That's the, my main user, the counselor team, the counselor of the school. They have all the tools, they have resources, videos, activities, everything to work with the students, to work with the teachers, we work with the parents. And we have two services, two small services to the students. And we created this algorithm where we could predict this bullying. I mean, the students, they choose the names of the classmate guys of the generation, and they say like, Robbie is my best friend. We have five in relationship, but with Carlos, it's not that good. So we have two, and this algorithm create this network, and we can tell to the counselor and to the teacher, hey, take care with Carlos because all the students are saying that he's maybe victim of bullying. You know, that tools, that information helps to the counselor and to the school staff to manage the money, manage the interventions, and know exactly what's happening inside of school and also on the internet.
That's amazing. And so, you know, what was about, you know, bullying? And when we were starting this, you started this as an app and as a social experiment, and, you know, bullying is a big problem. Yeah. And it's something that, you know, when we were in school, it was done a little differently because we didn't have online tools. We got those. Yeah. You know, kind of post-college. And to be honest, I'm kind of glad it was all post-college that it really happened, because my life would have probably been different. But as you saw this unfolding, and as you're, you know, seeing this play out, what was it that really struck you that this needed to be something you addressed specifically?
Yeah, I mean, we all saw bullying in the school. I mean, it's like, yeah, I wasn't a victim of bullying, never in my school life. I had a really good school life. I played tennis. Mm-hmm. I had my girlfriend. I had like a normal school moment in my 12 years, you know, in a typical middle-class school, 1,200 students, a big school, but normal experience. But I saw the problem, you know. I could empathize with the situations, you know. And after many years, after this, the university, after everything, when we create this first social experiment, this first app, and we launched this in the school, and the student, this is the most, for me, the most important part of everything of this journey that is Brave Up, that I created this app with one idea, and a girl used this to report that she was victim of bullying, you know? Mm-hmm. She told me like, hey, I think that this is good for this, boom. And when I received this message, it was like, I wasn't a victim, but wow, this is tough. This is not good. This is not okay. What's happening in the school? And when I started to talk with the school, they didn't know what to do. I mean, they had some ideas. They have some protocol, some like structure of stuff, but not much. Not like, yeah, don't worry. I'm going to do something with this, this, and this. So I saw that, and it was like, wow. I mean, I was 25. I was a kid. I was 25. I haven't been working in any other place that is braver. You know, it's like, what? It's like,
yeah.
My first experience. So I think that was that a girl used my platform to that important issue and that important, like, personal stuff that to me changed everything. And I didn't care if I didn't leave that or if it was not too close. It was like, let's care about it. Let's do something, you know?
Yeah. So I think it's really unique. You know, you built something and somebody used it, and then it was kind of like a amazing moment. One, to have your product used, but two, to then like, where do we go from here? How do we fix this? And it became a really personal issue for you. When somebody uses your product and you don't know how to take that to the next step. And I think that's, you know, really interesting. And, you know, I think what you're doing is amazing. And I love the name Brave Up. And I want to get into that here because I was bullied at one point in my life. I grew up with a twin brother, and I think that was a bit intimidating for others. And so, you know, at times we got bullied, and some very vivid memories across middle school, junior high, and high school of those times. And, you know, one of the, you know, I played sports, but one of the reasons that I started really working out when I got to high school, but I started getting bigger and I had a twin, and when
you're tougher,
you know, people kind of like, oh, okay, maybe, maybe not. And then, you know, I was also, when thinking now, I was also really shy when I was younger. And it was through this exploration of finding myself and going to the gym and having been bullied that I grew to be more of a talker. In fact, one of the things that it got me in trouble with is I became a people pleaser because I was so afraid of getting bullied again that I just started pleasing everybody. And that became its own problem. But, you know, bullying has a very special place in my heart. And I've seen it happen to not only myself, but my younger brother. Both my younger brothers got bullied back in the day. And I was away in college and couldn't do anything about it. And it was just a different world. And so, you know, it's also scary, right? You have to be brave to stand up and say something about it. So let's talk about the name. What, why Brave Up? How did that come about?
First of all, thanks to Jerry. I mean, I know that this is hard. I know it's like, sometimes it's like 10, 20, 30 years of that moment. And you remember that and you connect and you like feel it. So like, thanks for that. And because, I know. And the first idea was this report, you know, I mean, and not just for the victim. That was the first idea to me, because the point was like, I know the victim needs this. I know that. I know that. All the international bibliography, the studies, the universities, everything, everybody says that the schools need a channel to report if you're a victim of bullying or cyberbullying, you know. Some schools do it in a box with a letter, some other schools with a Google form, other schools with Brave Up, and that's one of the ideas. But I wasn't a victim and I wasn't an aggressor, a bully, you know. I was the witness. I was the guy that didn't like the situation, didn't like that it's happening, but maybe I didn't say like stop doing that because I didn't want to be bullying, you know. Like, I don't want to be the victim if I do something. I don't want to be the victim if I say something, because change the victim change depending if what you're doing. So my point was like, let's help, let's give some channel 24/7 to that student that they want to do something but they don't know what to do. And remember this, it's not their job to fix this problem. That's super important, because a kid of 10 or 12 years old, she or he can't fix the problem of the bullying, you know, but she or he can report, can help us to know that it's happening, that it lets us to know that is in Roblox something happening, in TikTok something happening, on Instagram something happening, because like a counselor, like a teacher, like a parent, I don't know, I don't understand that word, I'm not part of that word, but we need to know because we need to fix this problem, you know. And Brave Up is of course a directly message to the victim of bullying, like, don't worry, we're here, Brave Up, tell us, you know, talk about this, but also to this guy who's looking at this situation, and with that report, you are helping a lot. I mean, you're changing all the game. You're changing all the situation, just an anonymous. Don't worry if you don't want to say your name. Don't worry, man. Yeah. Don't worry. Use anonymous, but like super conscious, super sure about what you're talking about. Like, it's not like a fake report, not like something that I think I know. Something real, do it. And it's a really powerful tool, man. That's the idea. And that's everything behind of that name is that idea, like Brave Up, you know?
I love that, because, you know, you made a good point there that the problem, we know that there's a need for the victim to have a place to speak up. And we know as a witness that we should speak up and, you know, not to be silent. But usually there's no good forum. It's either with an online ID or you're going in person to tell somebody anonymously, but that still can get back. And so you created a tool to have people report, right?
Yeah.
Witnesses can stand up because they don't know what to do. Report it on Brave Up. And then not only that, you have the algorithm piece to it. And then, you know, I think what's really interesting, the other piece is then talking to schools about what they can do to fix it. Because a lot of times it happens, somebody reports it if that's lucky, and then they reprimand them with like detention or something. And so there's actual two-way conversations. And I know, you know, if we went into the full thing on the conversation about Brave Up, there's, you know, for the listeners out there, there's a whole side of Alvaro and his team are working with schools to create protocols on how to fix, not just, hey, here's reporting and here's the data. Like, what's that next step? And I know that's a big piece of Brave Up's future growth is to implement some of that. But I'd like to switch gears for a minute because you're really passionate about your product. And, you know, it's come a long ways to where you are today with pre-seed funding. You've already launched the Latin America market, right? This is something that's already happening in Chile and Latin America. Yeah. And so it's not like you just got funding and now you're trying to launch this. This has been validated.
Yeah, we have 70 schools now using the software. Yeah.
70, that's amazing. So tell me about this. You started this when you're 25. Did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Did you always think, hey, I wanted to solve, I see a problem and fix it? Like, how did you get into this idea of entrepreneurship and saying, I want to be the person to build a company to fix something?
I think that everything started in my parent is an entrepreneur. You know, he's an entrepreneur. He studied construction, but he had different ideas, and he always was talking in the table, eating together, the family, about the team, about the mission, about the next step, about this growing, about the next project, you know? And for me, it was like, wow, super excited. I mean, I have pictures of me like 4 or 5 years old sitting in this Apple computer of my dad, like working, like living, like, I'm going to do this. I don't know what, but I'm going to be like, in that energy, you know, like doing stuff, doing brilliant stuff. So for me, always was that the idea. I wanted to be an actor in the school. Then I wanted to study to be a journalist. And you know, when you're a teenager, you change your mind. But I studied business in the university. So I was super like focusing, like, this is the next step. And I didn't know what to do exactly in the first moment, but I knew that I wanted to do my own stuff, you know? And the second, it was like, it has to be global, you know? It has to be global. It's not just to Chile, it's not just to Latin America. This has to be global. I mean, for me, always was like, boom. This has to be like, boom, huge. And, you know, in the university, I started different ideas with a classmate in a different project. They didn't work. And I started to sell some stuff here and there. Actually, I didn't have like many good pre-ideas. And when I was like in the last years of the university, when I was 25, we created with a classmate this first like MVP. We launched this to the school. And I received that report that I told you. And for me, I think that this is what happened. That report becoming in my purpose, you know, in like... Mm-hmm. In the last 7 years of my life, I have been like working every day to that purpose. You know, it's like, I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know what changed in myself, but I focused there and I have pivoted my solution. I have pivoted my business model. I have pivoted my technology. I have pivoted my team. I have changed my partners in the company. I have changed everything, man. But the purpose, the problem is that focus, you know, like,
So as always, I mean, coming from your family and your father being, you know, somebody who really drove innovation, drove your ideation, your energy of entrepreneurship, and that you knew that you were going to do something that you could create, inspire, and build, which is awesome. And, you know, it's interesting to see how these things come together of what that solution looks like. And you talked about, you know, you've 7 years, you've been going 70 schools already, your pre-seeds come in, you know, it's been a long time coming for you to grow and scale up what you've been trying to do. So what were, you know, what are some of the challenges that you had overcome? You know, we were talking pre-show, you know, originally this idea started as a social experiment in an app and somebody reported it and all these things kind of fell into place. But what were some of the things that you've had to go against? I mean, what are some of the challenges that you faced for the last 7 years to get to where you are today? Because I want to get into, you know, what's been some of the big overcoming defining moments for the company. And what are some of the things that maybe you failed at? That was a tough lesson to learn, but it's beneficial today.
Yeah. I think that every moment is super difficult when you're an entrepreneur. I think that, I mean, I saw all the movies and everything, and I love to be an entrepreneur, but it's hard to be an entrepreneur. You know, it's like, it's not easy. Every day is difficult. Every day you have a different like challenge that you have to fix and problem that you have to fix. And I think in the first time for me, the most difficult part was the product market fit, you know, like exactly that the schools needs, you know, because I wanted to have this social media app, you know, I wanted to be the next Snapchat or something like that. I wanted to be that in the schools, but the schools didn't want that. They didn't want to pay for an app. They didn't want to pay for a social media for the students. They need another tool. So I had to understand that. And in the first time, like all the like books and everything say like you have to do it faster in 18 months. You need to have this product market fit and everything. But for me it was like 5 years, man. It was like 5 years going and talking to the schools, try to raise some funds, try to create this team. So it was really difficult to create this product market fit.
Yeah.
After that, when you do that and you have your first sales and you're growing, for me was the team, like this, the right team, you know, this match, this perfect with the experience, with young guys, with persons of different social categories, social places, cities, you know. And it's not easy, you know. It's hard to, because it's, you have to, you're the CEO, you're the founder, it's your idea. They expect that you have some answers from the questions, and sometimes you don't have the answers of the question, and you have to like, man, let's find it together, because I don't have it. I created this like 3 years ago. This is like new for everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm playing this like new kind of league that is like VCs, angel investment, and all investment deck and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like be this perfect middle between the energy and the serious part. Not too passionate like I am, because I'm too passionate, sometimes more like cold mind, super cold, like this is the best decision, this is not the best decision. Sometimes it's hard to like stop, because it's the dream, you know. It's like, we're doing it, we're going to New York City, we're going to launch this, and this has been so hard. But I think that's, for me, in the personal, is like my challenge today, you know. Try to be super like this 7 years have to be something, you know. It's like the moment to be so so cold, so easy, sometimes not too anxious. I think that's now. Yeah,
awesome. So I mean, you know, bringing that all together, some of the big challenges where it took you 5 years to get product market fit, partly because what you wanted was to create the next Snapchat, a social app. And what schools, and not only schools, but what students needed was something very different. And to figure that out and also have to pivot away from something that you're super passionate about.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy, you know, from that first person who reported something into turning it into an actual usable product, a viable product.
And you know that was, I think, the most difficult part, because we raised a lot of grants, a lot of prizes, a lot of money to do that, to keep doing it. And we have success cases every month and every year. So I have money, I have awards, I have recognition in the like ecosystem of Chile. It was like, look, this social media anti-bullying platform, look, this social media anti-bullying software. And it was like super like newspapers and everything. So you start to believe that the schools are wrong, that you are right, you know? And it's like, man, they're wrong, because everyone in the ecosystem, that the ecosystem is this, it's not, it's not your client, it's not your industry, it's just your guys, your friends, you know? And I think that's why in the first, I think, 2 years, it was like super like, woo! Believing that I was a real entrepreneur, I wasn't. I was just like starting, but it was hard to understand and realize, like, okay, the market is talking, the school are talking, like, listen, man, it's like, do it.
Yeah, sometimes it's really easy for us to say that we know better because we know what the ecosystem wants, but we don't actually listen to our customers. And sometimes you have to understand that your customer is not the ecosystem. And I think that's a really tough lesson to learn. And the reason I bring this up is, you know, it sounds like, you know, amazing, you know, from where you started to where you are today. We talked about the high points, but we forget that, you know, this is the bare necessity of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship isn't easy. And in those 5 years, from the first person that used your app to raising money to now come to the US market, was 5 years of a lot. 2 years of product market fit and thinking that you were right and they were wrong. Another couple of years of realizing and realigning. Then building the right team. Building teams are never easy. One of the biggest mistakes founders make is they make wrong hiring decisions. I mean, you've scaled the company from you to now, what, 17 employees, I think you have? Something about that?
Yeah.
You know, that's not easy to do. I'm sure there's some, you know, bad hires along the way, some people who left, some people who've had to let go.
Yeah.
But that's part of this journey. And when you start building a team and start thinking, okay, who, not how, right? Who do I need in my organization? Mm. You know, your passionate, high energy. Who can help mellow me out? Who can be a more rational, pragmatic decision maker? Who's a critical thinker that's going to lay it out in black and white so that we bring these things down and you bring those skills and team into the organization as well? So, I mean, I love that. The journey is one that is long. Did you ever want to quit? Did you ever think about quitting?
Yeah, many times. I mean, I think that 2 times in these years, we didn't have money to pay the team. Like, I had a car. I had my lovely car. I had to sell my car. And I have to, like, okay, bye-bye car. Let's pay the salaries this month and everything. And I remember one time when my CTO in that moment, he was hired with another company, and he left the company from like Friday to Monday, and it was like, wow, explosion inside of the team. We were in the middle of the development of the software. We couldn't like finish the day to the schools and everything. And yeah, in that moment, we didn't have many schools. We didn't have nothing. And it was like, I can quit, you know, it's like, I can do it. But, you know, I think that the purpose is bigger. It's like fire. It's like, I don't know. And I don't see myself working in a bank, working in a traditional company, working for other guy from, you know, Chile is like a minor country, you know. All the Chileans work in a minor company. And I don't see myself doing that. I don't want to destroy my world. I want to change the world. I want to improve the world. I want to like try to the schools. It has a very environment, you know. It's like, I don't know. If I think that is like connect to myself. And I have the lucky, I have the super lucky. I have to say that I have my parents always like backing me up, like, don't worry, we can help you if you need something. You can come to live a few months here in the house if you can pay the rent and everything. So I have that support, and I have to say, because sometimes you say, hey, if you're not telling how you eat, you know, I have that sometimes, that support. And I tried to sell everything that I had. I tried to always do some stuff, some freelance working, to freelance stuff, these freelance classes in the university, and everything. Tried to do that. I think that moment also, when you're going to pay something or go to the ATM and you don't have the money, I think that moment also is super hard, you know? It's like, You see your friends, you see your sister, your brother, that they're growing, they have jobs, they're doing something awesome, they have money. It's like, I really want to do it. I'm 28, man. I'm soon 30, and you have this pressure of the 30 and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I think sometimes that moment are super hard, and that moment is not easy to like fix it, you know? I think that hurt also, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you sharing that because it's hard. Like, you got to sell your car to pay salaries. And what, you know, we have this glorified view that, you know, you have a great idea, you validate it, you're going to get funding and you scale it. And there's all these things. What people don't realize is that that doesn't usually happen. And even if you do, you're playing with house money. You've got investors or the bank wanting their loan money back. At some point, that money's got to go back. And you have to have a plan for that. And so, you know, I went the normal route and did different things until I hit entrepreneurship and then I started two companies. And it's one of those things that for me, I see all of my friends like have the house, the car, the kids. And that's amazing. You know, that's their journey. Yeah. Like, their journey is impressive because it's theirs. But I was like, that's not mine. And I need to stop comparing myself to them. And that was a hard lesson to learn. You know, and a lot of times it's like you get a nice paycheck coming in, and you're like, oh, yeah, I got to pay that right off into paying my employees or, you know, upgrade my website or buying this for the team or buying that for the company or doing these things. And you're just like, wait a second. It's really just like, you know, put it in my right hand, put it in my left hand, and then it's gone. And that's entrepreneurship. That's running a business. And I think it's really important that those that get into entrepreneurship, yes, you're going to have people around you to help and supportive parents. And, you know, maybe you have some money in the bank, you saved up all these things, but that's not everyone's case. I think it's really important that people understand that they can't just find somebody to fix their problems. And when you're an entrepreneur, you got to fix all of it. You got to come in and do it. And then as you build and make those things happen. So I appreciate you sharing that. It's, I think we tend to have a very glorified view that things, a very optimistic view that's just going to happen. It's going to be there. It's going to be fine. When reality is it's not. And there's a lot more that goes into it. And you forget that you have to be your own admin. You got your own scheduling, your own sales, your own marketing, your own product, you know. So I think it's really important. You know, I think whenever an entrepreneur says, oh, I was never going to give up. I never even thought about it. I kind of throw the bullshit flag because the only reason you're so passionate about it is because you did think about giving up and you realize, you know what? Fuck that. If I gave up, I'd be unhappy. I'd regret it. And that was the motivation to keep me going through it. I think it's more important to, like, let's highlight that hey, at one point I thought about giving up. I wasn't sure if this was right for me, but I knew that I loved what I was doing. It made me happy as hell to go to work every day and to work on this project. So I'm going to keep going, even if I want to quit. And that's the mindset of an entrepreneur, right? There's being an entrepreneur and there's that mindset piece that comes in. So I appreciate you sharing that. So, you know, you're coming to New York City here at the end of August. When this launches, it'll be probably in September. So you'll just gotten to New York City. So what are those plans? So when you get here and you start building here, what are those things you're looking for to scale? You're looking for companies right away? Are you gonna be hiring a US team? Like, what is day one look like for Alvaro now that US expansion is a go?
Well, we're working with the startup ventures in New York, and we also were selected by New Chip Accelerator of Austin, Texas, the number one online program of acceleration. So they choose us also. And the first idea is try to find this next round of investment, this seed round of between 500K to 1 million. That's the next round that we're thinking. And we have the product ready. We have the algorithm. We want to know the American market. We have this free model, student model, a school community model, different prices. And the free model, we want to launch many schools. So we think that it's going to be like a lot of percent of the money to the growth hacking, sales, marketing, you know, like the people's knows that we are here and we have this solution and we have this free model, this cheap model and everything. Is that the first step? Like, grown, start to have a lot of meeting of different schools, launch this product, start to see what happened. What's the feeling of the schools? What the feeling of the counselor? And we're super open to change again if the counselor needs another feature, or if they don't understand the same that way that they look the relationship of the Latin American market. I mean, that's the idea of this first year. Like, try to learn, try to listen, try to create this better product, but always with the customer. You know, we already did in Chile, in Latin America, so we went to there. And yeah, start to sell, start to grow, and see what happens with the startup and with Newchip. I think that in the next 3 or 4 months, maybe we're going to change a lot the way that we sell, way that how we communicate our solution and everything. So
one of the first things you got to do when you come here is, you know, put all those processes in place to start the conversations. But if that seed happens in the next 3 to 6 months, it really accelerates the way that you go out and take your message to the market. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of happens in the important 3 to 6 months. So in Bear Nation, if anybody is a school counselor or is close to school counselors that'd be interested in talking with Alvaro, please, we'll have his contact information at the end of the episode in the show notes for you to connect him up and have an intro conversation and start learning about what Brave Up can do for your schools or for your school community. When you come out into the market, you know, you talk about starting in Austin, are you going to go after the whole U.S. market? Are you going to start down in, like, you know, Florida, Miami, and kind of capitalize on the Latin American connection? Do you have a plan on how you're rolling out across the U.S.? Because you try to hit the whole U.S., it's going to be a bit exhausting. So do you have a bit of a plan?
It's impossible. No. It's like crazy to think that we're going to do it like in the beginning of the market. It's too big, man. It's huge. I mean, a fun fact, just the state of Florida has more schools than all Chile. That huge is the market in America, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. For us, it's what? All these countries is less than just one state in America. No. But for us, the first step is New York, actually startup and these schools. You know, in America, you have three kinds of schools, public, private, and public charter schools. So for us, the first target market is this public charter school, because they're more innovative. They have this budget to this software. They have the budget for this kind of software. So that's our market of New York and also Texas, because the accelerator is in Texas, in Austin. So that's the first market. After that, Florida is the next step. I mean, we know that some places in Florida, they speak a lot of Spanish. I mean, just Spanish in some places. So yeah, it's super Latin American solution to a Latin American places is perfect. So that's the first idea. New York, Austin, then Miami, I think, or some part of Florida. And then what happened? I don't know. I mean, that's the idea of the software. I mean, maybe it's scaling faster than we think. Exactly. Yeah.
We're excited to see it launch. We're excited to see it grow and scale. And you know, obviously it's going to be a bit interesting because you have a team down in Chile that's still going to run for your South American and Latin American markets. So, you know, how you kind of manage both of those could be really intriguing. So we're excited to follow along. I know we've got just a few minutes here to finish up. So there's a few questions that I want to ask you that really relates to the end of the show that everyone kind of goes through. So I'm gonna go in a little bit different order. Let's see this. What is one book, resource, show, or piece of content that you would recommend right now that somebody should be listening to or checking out?
Oh, I listened a few podcasts, but in Spanish, so I don't know if it's gonna work here. I hear a lot Contexto, that is a podcast of Latin American entrepreneurs. It's amazing because he's one of the founders of Startupool, that is one of the biggest VCs in Latin America. One of my personal favorite books is El Coyote de la Mancha, but I don't know if in English it's work, but for me it's amazing because it's this Spanish guy that's looking and his vision. So for me it's like super personal. I recommend that every time try to read that. I don't know what else in English. Sorry, I don't hear.
No worries. In Contexto, I think it's a good, you know, if you're out there and, you know, you are a Spanish speaker, take a look at In Contexto. What advice would you give you know, Gen Z, millennials, anyone's entrepreneurial minded out there looking to get into entrepreneurship, what advice would you give them?
For me, it's like, try. It's not going to be easy to find what's your goal or your purpose. It's not simple, but it's not going to happen sitting in your house looking videos on YouTube. Sorry, man. Sorry, but we love to watch videos on YouTube, but that's not going to work. So go outside. If you want to sell ice cream, do it. If you want to paint something, do it. If you want to take pictures, do it. Try to see something, and then you're going to find something that you didn't expect. I mean, again, don't believe of that movie of the entrepreneur that, like you said, like, in, I have an idea, I receive funds, I create that, and I'm a multimillionaire. That's not true. Yeah. Go outside, live, learn a lot of any experience, and then maybe you're going to find this and you're going to in love with some, of some problem of something like that.
Yeah, be brave, right? Be brave and go experience. Be brave, I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is your superpower?
I talk super fast. And for the pitch, for the elevator pitch, is amazing, man. No, I see the life like a circle, you know? So if sometimes when I'm in the down of the circle, I don't see that I'm the down part of the circle. I just preparing for this, the next up part, you know? That's how I see the problems. Like, when I have one problem, two problems, three problems, I think like, oh, what's coming, man? What's that big good news that is coming? Because I'm preparing for that. So I think that that's my superpower. If you send me a real bad feedback of you, you give me some hate stuff of my software, I'm going to use it to improve, to prepare to some beer. So I think that's my superpower, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. You know, kind of that never give up moment, right? Like, Had you think about quitting or giving up on the company and ending it? Yeah, but you know, you knew that something better was just around the corner. It was going to come back and swing back up for you. So I love that. Awesome. So what is your lasting message? You know, as you think about this podcast, you know, what do you want to say to everyone out there?
Yeah, for everyone who is listening to this, and if you're living some problem, some issue, if you're a victim of violence in the school, in your house, with your parents, with your partner, or wherever, my good energy, my hug, and try to find some help, try to report, try to speak up and be brave up, because we care about you. That's always, we always say that in any interview that we do, we have to. It's like a mission of the team. For all of their, like, you can do it, man. It's like the dreams come true. I'm not from Santiago de Chile. I'm not from the capital. I'm from the north part of this country, a small country. Chile is a small country. My city is smaller than that. And I'm in 20 days and coming to live for a year in one of the most amazing cities, like this New York City. And for me, it's like, wow, it's insane, just the journey. So be brave, be strong. You're going to have really bad days, really, really, really bad days. But sometimes something is coming, something better is coming. So I think that's my last message. Like, be prepared for the good news. And when you are in that bad moment, that sad news, in that awful feedback or bad review of your app, be prepared, listen that, fix that, and go for it, man. You can do it. So it's that. Thank you for your time. And this is my first time speaking in English that time. So thank you very much. I hope that everyone understood everything. So thank you a lot.
I love it. I love being able to be the, you know, the first English podcast doing all this. You know, I think that's a great lasting message. Yeah, if you're you or somebody you know is affected by bullying, there's tons of resources out there. And support in that community. If you're always looking for resources, contact Brave Up and they can point you to other relevant resources. Alvaro, thank you so much for being a part of the show. I will make sure to have your Twitter, your LinkedIn, the company page, all, and your email all in the show notes. So if you're wanting to follow or connect with Alvaro, you can connect with him on Twitter, LinkedIn, email, and learn a little bit more. And, Thank you so much, my guy. It was just a lot of fun. I can't wait to have you in New York City. I know when this episode drops, you'll probably have been here. We probably already had a beer, but when you get here, sure, and you get settled in, and one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to go grab a beer. We'll celebrate briefly on the big win, and we'll probably probably switch gears and be like, okay, like, what's next? Like, let's go. Right? So you celebrate wins. You get 24 hours to celebrate. You get 24 hours to, if you lose. But then, you know, short mindset. I've been watching too much Ted Lasso, be a goldfish, have that forgetful memory and move forward. So, you know, kind of like you're always just, hey, it's going to come back up. So I love it, Alvaro. Thank you, Baron Nation. Thanks for tuning in again. Make sure you subscribe. If you're on Apple, please leave us a review. It'd be super helpful. Thank you so much. Alvaro, thank you for being a part of Baron Nation, my friend. Baron Nation, once again, thank you for listening to the Bare Necessities of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. And until next time, take care.